I proceed cautiously. I want the Lord to have his way here, and he is. By the way, what you just experienced is a good advertisement for the choir. Good stuff happens with that group, so... And every Thursday night, 6:30, when they have practice, it's a worship experience. It's a time of praise and thanksgiving every week with them. And God's at work there. Thank the Lord for that. Well, I'm going to abbreviate what I had for you today, because what we've had, the scripture says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That means Jesus, the sacrifice on the cross. The early Christians overcame by that, and there was something else added to it. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. There's something powerful in a testimony. And so thanks all of you who shared today. Thanksgiving is coming up this Thursday. And I like Thanksgiving because it really is a religious holiday. There are two other holidays that we celebrate in the calendar that are supposed to be Christian holidays. And those of us who are Christians observe them as Christian holidays, and that's Christmas and Easter. But the world has taken both Christmas and Easter and commercialized them. And here's how you know that it's Thanksgiving. In the mall, all the Halloween decorations go down and all the Christmas decorations go up. That's how you know it's Thanksgiving. And it's like, as far as commercialization, the world skips over Thanksgiving. But then when Christmas comes, you know, it's Santa, it's red and green, it's Christmas trees, it's presents, you know. And then Easter comes, and it's the Easter bunny in pastel colors and a celebration of spring and new life. But Jesus is left out in many places in the world. But how can you get through Thanksgiving without thinking of God? How can you get through Thanksgiving with really having a heart that says there's a power greater than me, and my life is blessed by that? I want to give you two things, and we're going to look at Psalm 103 today. So I want to encourage you to look at Psalm 103. And the two points of my message out of Psalm 103 are this. Make sure that you are thankful to the right person, and make sure that you are thankful for the right reasons. So you can already fill in your bulletin in case I don't get to the second point. Make sure you're thankful to the right person, and make sure you're thankful for the right reasons. Psalm 103, the first five verses. Say this, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, and that's Jehovah. Praise Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases and redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, in that passage, those short five verses, we have the person to whom we're to be thankful and the reasons that we're to be thankful. So let me just review some of those with you quickly. The right person is Jehovah. Praise Jehovah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All in my inmost being, praise his holy name. It's just hard to be thankful without acknowledging God. You know, if you were talking to an atheist, and an atheist said, "I'm just so thankful," then it begs the question, well, then who are you thankful to? You have to be thankful to someone. And despite atheism, and you know, I have people that I'm close to that are atheists. And they are brilliant people who have reasoned away God. And the scripture says, the man who says there is no God is a fool. And I grieve, and you know, the sad thing is, one day I'll be proven right about the fact that there's a God, and these people that I'm close to will be proven wrong, but then it'll be too late. And that grieves me. But there is a God, and we are thankful to him. He gives so much. You know, there are things that you can't see. There are times that I've gone to the bank, and they've got this glass in the bank, and if the sun is just right, I can't see through the glass. All I can see is reflection in the glass. And when I go into the bank to drive through, that little drawer comes out. Sometimes this happens when I'm going to the drive-thru to pick up some prescriptions, you know. The little drawer comes out, and I'm trying to see it. I'll grab my polarized sunglasses and put those on. That doesn't help. You know, I'll put them back down. And who's behind the glass? I can't see them. But I know somebody's there. And I want you to know, behind all the blessings, there's somebody there. And it is our God. And he is merciful, and he is good, and he is loving, and he is giving. David wrote this psalm. Now, here's a guy who was a shepherd boy who became king. He was a fugitive before he became king. And he was a terrible sinner. But the scripture says he was a man after God's own heart. David knew what it was to be redeemed and experience the blessings and the restoration and the mercies of God. And he wrote this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, I want to give you the right reasons. Verse 2 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." There are benefits to walking with the Lord. You know, the early pilgrims are the ones who started this whole idea of Thanksgiving. And it's interesting how they celebrated Thanksgiving in the midst of hardship. They literally came to a barren wilderness land. There were no cities here. There were no paved roads. There were no stores or shops. All the things they had enjoyed back in England, none of that was here. They were just in a wilderness. Forests and fields with nothing there but the Native Americans who lived by pilgrim standards much more primitively. 1620, by the way, this struck me as I was working on this. That was 1620 and now it's 2016. Don't know what that means, but it's kind of cool. But they arrived and it was so hard, and the winter came and there was another ship coming, and the other ship came and they rejoiced, oh, the ship is here. But when that ship landed, 35 more people got off, but no provisions. So now they had more people to feed and care for without any provision for them. William Brewster was a pilgrim leader, and he stood up after a meal of just clams that they had gotten out of the sea and a glass of water, and said, "Why don't we have a time of thanksgiving?" And they did. They had a time of thanksgiving when they had so very little. Draw up a thanksgiving list. Count your blessings. What do you have to be thankful for? What are the reasons? Well, let me give you some that are listed here. Verse 3, he forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. Wow, we've been talking about that today, haven't we? Healings that have come, but all of us who are in Christ Jesus have had our souls healed. We changed the direction we were going. We were headed for hell, now we're headed to heaven. We were without the Lord and his comfort and his mercies, and now we are with the Lord and his comforts and his mercies. And by the way, just if you're a Christian, it doesn't mean everything's going to go perfectly, but we have the Lord with us. Oh, that's so wonderful. You know, in 1992, after a lot of attempts and a lot of exploration, explorers found the Titanic at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, 2 miles down. 70 years after it was sunk, they found it. And nobody can go there. They've actually, you know, people have gone down in these submersibles that can withstand all the tremendous pressure of sea at that depth. You know, it's just, the outside pressure is just, I mean, if a crack came in one of those little windows they have that are very thick, they would die instantly. The pressure would be so bad. 2 miles down. But you know, even though they found the Titanic at a depth of 2 miles, there are places in the world where the depth of the ocean is 5 miles deep, and no one has ever been there. Now, here's what the scripture says. Who is a God like you who pardons our sins and gives and forgives the transgressions, who hurls all our iniquities into the depths of the sea? Oh! God gets rid of our sins, and he doesn't hold us accountable. Here's the one thing that God can't do. He can't remember your sin. He deliberately chooses to forget it. And then the scripture says, who heals all our diseases. There is no disease within the capability of God that's incurable. He can cure anything. And we celebrated some of that today. Here's another thing in verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit. He makes changes in us. He redeems us and he changes us. He doesn't leave us the same. That's what redemption is all about. Redemption is about taking what's broken and making it whole, taking what's lost and finding it. He changes us. Our position changes. Everything changes. And so we're not the person we used to be. Now, all of us are works in progress. We're not finished yet. But I'm so thankful for the verse of promise that says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So just recognize you're not done yet. And there still may be struggles and hardships, but God has his hand on you. And he will bring to completion the good work that he has begun. So because I'm a work in progress, I chase after God. And not the things of the world. That's part of the progress that's happening in me. I don't dwell on my past. I dwell on my future. Here's another thing. Verse 4, and crowns you with love and compassion. I just want to emphasize as I read that verse, the plan he has for us. He loves us so much and he has a future for us. He takes us in a new direction and it's all good. And no life is an accident. Boy, let me just, the Lord just kind of prompting me right now to say to you, you have worth. God created you. And there are too many people that struggle with, you know, there are people who are more important than me, people who have more value than me. I'm just kind of a blip on the radar of the world. You know, I'm nothing. You know, my life doesn't matter. Untrue. Those are lies of the devil. You matter. God created you. God has a purpose for you. And God will actually use you to make the world a better place. God will use you to encourage others and to be a blessing to others. God has a purpose for you. Verse 5, here's the next point. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I want to tell you that he has a provision for you. One of the greatest provisions that God has for you and me is heaven one day. You know, if he didn't give me anything else, that's enough. That's enough, you know, if I had to go through life with diseases and heartache and rejection and all that, if I knew at the end of it I would have heaven, then I would be able to sing that song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. But he gives us more than just that hope of heaven. There are good things in this life. I really believe that God wants to bless us with heaven, but he also wants to bless us here. But heaven is wonderful. It's a place of reward. It's a place of reunion. And we've had different ones talk about losing loved ones, but when we get to heaven, we'll see them again. It's a place of reassignment. And you've heard me talk about this before, but I'm glad when I get to heaven, I'm not done and I have to sit on a cloud and play a harp for eternity. Oh, oh. I got to tell you, when we get to heaven, I believe that Dave Smith is going to lead a choir. And I believe that God is going to call people to be in that choir. And there are going to be instruments, and they're going to rehearse. And then we'll gather and hear that, and we're going to say, glory, hallelujah. Jesus is wonderful, and there's still going to be things to do. I'll still get to preach. Now, I won't have to preach to sinners and tell them to give their lives to the Lord. I'm just going to preach about the glories of God. And I'm going to have things to do. I really do that. And this may just seem a little practical and less ethereal than what I'm saying, but eventually there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. God is going to start over with a new planet, literally a new earth, a new planet. And it's going to be the perfect planet that earth was meant to be but was corrupted by sin. And just the way God spoke to Adam and said, okay, here's your assignment. Here are the things that I want you to do. You know, rule over the earth, subdue the earth. We're going to have that in the new planet, the new world. We're going to have stuff to do. And I think they're still going to manufacture automobiles. And one of the reasons that I'm really encouraged about that is one of the things I like to do is detail cars. You know, it just occurred to me, they won't get rusty though. I have to detail it without touch-up paint. I wonder if there'll be dust. I don't know if I have to wash my car. If I can't detail my car, I have to preach then about how I don't have to detail my car. But I'm sure there are going to be things to do in heaven. Well, I just want to encourage you today to express thanks to the Lord. And we've done that today. We've done it in song. We've done it with testimony. I've done it here with some preaching. And it's time to wrap up. Okay, I'm going to tell you one quick story, and then I'll close with this. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, it talks about Paul and Silas were arrested, they were beaten, and thrown in to the innermost part of a jail, the dungeon part of a jail, with their feet in stocks. And the scripture records that they sat up all night. One of the reasons I believe they sat up all night is because they had been beaten. I think it hurt them. The only way they could lay down was to lay back on backs that had been lacerated. And so it was just too long. So they just sat up all night. So they're awake, and the scripture records that they were praising God and they were singing praises to God. And God responded to that. And the scripture tells us that an earthquake came, the stocks on their feet came loose, the door flew open. Now here's what's interesting. The jailer came and saw that the door was open, so he just assumed that Paul and Silas had left and escaped. And so he was about to fall on his own sword, kill himself, because he knew, I'm the jailer and I'm responsible, and if they got loose, I'm in big trouble, so I'll just end it. And Paul and Silas, no, don't do that. No, we're still here. And so the jailer brought them out and said, what is going on? And Paul and Silas shared with the jailer the good news of Jesus. And the scripture says that that man was saved and his entire family. Wow. Well, the reason I want to tell you that is if you're going through some bad stuff, praise the Lord. And God will get you out of that. And good things will come from that. The prison doors will break open and the shackles will fall off. And you will be free, but freedom comes through praising the Lord. So whatever has you all bound up, if you want to break free, you have got to praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, thanks for being here today. You've been the best preacher. You have spoken to us in marvelous ways, and you have received our praise. And we are so grateful that we have met with you on this Lord's Day. I pray, Lord, that you would help every heart here to find reason to hope in you and to praise you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.